welcome to Worship with Trinity. We're so glad that you are here. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you are with us for the first time today, we are especially glad to welcome you as our guest. We hope that you will let us know that you've been here today, whether you're new and here for the first time or you're here all the time. And you can do that by filling out the connection card that you'll find in your worship bulletin. If you're new, let us know as much as you're comfortable sharing. That'll help us get connected. If you're here all the time, just put your name and your email address down and put those in the offering boxes a little later in the service. Also in your bulletin, you'll find a lot of information that's helpful in getting to know some things that are happening in the life of the church that will help you get connected and acquainted with Trinity. Well, today we are starting a new series of messages, and as we do, I'm thinking about a story that Jesus told once in the Gospels about two men who came into the temple one day to worship. And the story really reveals two approaches to worship, and for that matter, two approaches of thinking about ourselves. The first man, as he started to pray, began rattling off all of the things that made him important and made him righteous. He was the Pharisee, the one who was part of the religious establishment, the one who knew what he was supposed to do. And so he was talking about all of his good deeds and his good works and being thankful that he was not like some others who didn't know how to act and behave. And then the second man began to pray. And as the second man began to pray, he began beating his chest. And he cried out, knowing that he was a broken man. He was not perfect. He was a sinner, in his own words. And he asked for God's mercy. Jesus said that as those two men left the temple that day, it was the second man who went home justified. Well, today we start talking about what it means to lose ourselves on purpose. What does it look like to be followers in the way of Christ? And we begin by asking the question, what does true humility look like? So we're so glad that you are here. We hope that this message today and this series of messages will speak to your hearts and give you some things to think about as you continue on this journey of life and faith as Christ followers. Again, welcome. Let me invite you to take a moment now and say good morning to someone near you as we prepare to worship.
Please remain standing, and this morning, before we sing, I want to let you know that Sunlight has a new opening song for worship today called To Be Like You. The song features simple, repeated melodies throughout as it prepares us for our new series, Losing Ourselves on Purpose. Rather than teach it to you, we will begin with the chorus of the song and have you join in as we sing.
Thank you.
that is the goal of our life. And as we gather here this morning, we pray you pour out your Spirit among us. Change our hearts and lives to make us more like you, we pray. And now, if you would join me in affirming our faith together using this World Methodist social affirmation, it is a call and response. Your response is in bold. We believe in God, Creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort. We believe, God help our unbelief. We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough, in all responsible use of the earth's resources, glory be to God on high and on earth. We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the use of technology which dangers the earth and all life upon it. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Please be seated. As we join together in a time of prayer this morning, I invite you to remember, as I'm sure you already do, those folks who have been in the past of massive hurricane this past week. I particularly am mindful of people in Haiti hit again by such a terrific storm. Grateful we are that the storm seems to skirt along the coast and not come quite as close as we had anticipated. And yet so many today have experienced loss of life this week, loss of home, and displacement. You know, it is a reminder for us how easily people and families can become homeless through no actions or doing of their own, but through circumstances beyond their control. That has certainly happened for a number of folks this week with the storm. Today is a day that we also remember that that is something that happens right among us in our own community in Gainesville. Trinity has a partnership with Family Promise, an organization that seeks to provide shelter for those families in times of need and crisis. And what a privilege it is for us to be able to do that. We are hands-on with those families periodically, once every 10 to 12 weeks, providing shelter here in our facilities for them. And then also today you have an opportunity to minister to those families through our mission box. And so as you leave today, if you are inclined, we invite you to be generous to Family Promise, place those gifts in the mission boxes that are at the exit doors. In our prayers today, I would just invite you to think of all those persons who are experiencing displacement for a variety of reasons, and others that may be on your hearts and minds as we pray. Let us pray about it. Good and gracious God, in all times and circumstances, you promise to be with us, to walk the road, whether it is bringing joy or sorrow, celebration or sadness. Today we are especially mindful of those who are without home. We remember how your people, when they left Egypt, escaping slavery, walked and wandered homelessly for 40 years. And then when they crossed over into that promised land and began to build and have homes that they would inhabit and a community that formed, that they were called from the very beginning of their covenant with you to be aware and care and to care for those among them who were aliens and strangers, who were homeless and wandering. And so today we pray that you would speak to us as we think of those who are displaced this very weekend. May we keep them in our prayers. And where we have the ability, may we also take action of our own to care for their needs. We ask that you would be with the people of Haiti and all along the Atlantic coast, that in their suffering and in their rebuilding and recovering, they would sense your presence, and that there would be those who bring hands and feet to do the work of Christ in caring for so many needs. Now as we continue to worship this morning, turn our hearts and our minds toward your word, that in it we may continue to learn and grow as faithful followers. is a gift to be free. And one of the ways we find freedom is by remembering that all that we have and all that we are indeed gifts from a God who blesses us in abundance. And so I want to invite the ushers to come forward at this time. Now is our opportunity to return a portion of the way in which God has blessed us through the giving of our tithes and offerings, which become a part of God's work through the ministries of the church today. Let me invite you to pray with me. Good and gracious God, indeed, you rain down blessings upon us, and we give you thanks and praise, and now ask that you might take what we bring to you today and use it in ways that help bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Lily McDaniel, and today Summit will be singing Humbling Times by Kim McGraw. This song is perfect for the topic of humility from our new sermon series, Leaving Ourselves on Purpose. The song is from a dad sending an important message to his two daughters, saying that they should always remember where they came from and give back to others. This is important to remember because we know that we can always turn back to God with our troubles. God always wants us to be the best versions of ourselves, and this is what the song conveys. God gives us so much, but we still have to remain calm and not be envious of others. Being kind is much more simple than overcoming by jealousy. That special reminder to be humble and kind is a key phrase in the song, and indicates God. In the song, he says, "Full doors, say please, say thank you." This is significant because even little things can mean the most. He also sings about a light in the front door. This line is very remarkable because it could symbolize the gates of heaven. This gives truth to God's open arms from all of us to us. I invite you now to receive this offering as Liz Kirby leads us in humble and kind.
Sun Life for offering music that leads us right into the message. We appreciate that so much. Humble and kind. For the first several weeks we were with you here in Ministry of Trinity, we decided that we would talk specifically about Jesus, who he is and who he means to us. That's always a great place to start. And the last Sunday of that series, the scripture reading ended with Jesus saying, if you want to become my followers, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Now today we pick up right there, exactly where we left off. Jesus said, take up your cross. Take up your cross. And so we're going to look at what that means. What does it mean to take up our cross? What does it mean to live lives, our lives, in the way that Jesus wants us to live as a follower of Christ? And so we'll talk about what it means to deny ourselves, what it means to deny ourselves on purpose, what it means to lose ourselves on purpose. So that's where we begin today. The scripture reading is from the book of Philippians. Now, Philippians has always been one of my favorite books. It's actually not a book. It's a little short letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. It's always been one of my favorites, and yet it's become more of one of my favorites in the last several years, because Steve and I were the founding pastors of a church in Bradenton that we served in for 19 years. And Paul wrote this letter to the church that he had founded in Philippi after he left there. We know that he founded the church, and we know the story of that from the book of Acts. Acts of the Apostles is what it's called, but we call it Acts. And in chapter 16 of that book, Paul talks about his visit to Philippi. He talks about he and a companion going over to this leading city in Macedonia, which was a Roman colony. And he says that when he got there, he was out by the bank of the river where some people were gathered, and he met Lydia. Lydia had a heart for God, and Lydia was a merchandiser of purple cloth. And he began to share the good news with Lydia, and it says Lydia opened her heart and heard all that he had to say and accepted the good news, and then Lydia and her whole house were baptized. And that was the beginning of the church at Philippi. And then later, Paul writes a letter back to that congregation and the other Christians in that community. And he does that from prison. He was in prison for sharing the gospel. And at this point, when he's in prison, we know that his death, his execution, is probably imminent. And as we hear his words to the Philippians, his love and affection for them is so very clear. And in this passage in particular, he is reminding them to be humble. He's reminding them to have the mind that was in Christ. And then he goes on to share what was probably a hymn of the early church, a song of the early church. And it's one of the most beautiful passages in Scripture. So I'll read to you this morning from Philippians. Now, remember last week Steve gave you the hint of Georgia Electric Power Company, GEPC. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels, then Acts, then Romans, then 1 and 2 Corinthians, then Georgia Electric Power Company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So that's where we are. So Philippians chapter 2, and I invite you to read along with me in your Bibles or on the screen, on the screens. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any sharing in the Spirit, any sympathy, complete my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, being united and agreeing with each other. Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. Adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God something to exploit, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and by becoming like human beings. When he found himself in the form of a human, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly honored him and gave him a name above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven and on earth and under the earth might bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. I ask you this morning again to bow your heads and pray for me and share this message with you as I pray for you and receive you. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As I was preparing to preach this week, and as we were all preparing for the possibility and the reality of Hurricane Matthew, I thought back to an experience that I had more than 10 years ago. It was August of 2005, and Hurricane Katrina had barreled along the Mississippi and Louisiana coast. That happened on a Tuesday, and on that Friday morning early, on our day off, we got a phone call at home, and it was from a member of our congregation. And he said, I cannot take it anymore. I cannot watch people dying in New Orleans and not do anything. So I'm going to rent the largest truck that I can drive, and I want to ask Harvest, the church we were serving, I want to ask Harvest to help me to fill that truck, and then I'm going to drive it as far as I go and see if I can find somebody to help. Well, I said to Jerry Ogle, my friend, you need somebody to go with you. You need a pastor to go with you, because pastors can get you places that other people can't. And you need the congregation to help you. And he said, I've got to work today, but I want to leave as soon as I get off work. I have some deadlines, some tax deadlines. So, 12 hours later, the people of Harvest, the people of the preschool, the people of the community had loaded that truck to the ceiling with supplies of every kind, and Jerry and myself and two other guys, Steve Higgs and Jeff Murphy, started driving out to Mississippi. And Steve had called and found a church that needed our assistance where we could go, and so we arrived the next day in Gulfport, Mississippi, in the parking lot of Trinity United Methodist Church in Gulfport. When we arrived, the minister came out to the truck, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, you all are the first people from outside that we have seen. So we unloaded the truck into the fellowship hall. We had baby supplies, we had diapers, we had toiletry kits, we had food and canned meat, and we had water and more water and more water. And we unloaded all of that into the fellowship hall. And then, when we got it into the fellowship hall, the congregation realized that it took up more space in the fellowship hall, and they needed some of that space. You see, they had gas, and so they were able to prepare hot meals for people. And they needed a place for people to come and to be able to have those meals. And so then they decided that we should move the water to a Sunday school classroom, just the water. So people could come in, they could have a hot meal, they could go shopping for free through all of the tables with food and supplies and get what they needed. And then they could go out the side door of the fellowship hall and stop in a Sunday school classroom and pick up a 16-bottle, maybe it was 20-bottle pack of water. And so that's what they did. But these men had to move all that water. So you know how it goes. They got a dolly. They loaded up the dolly with this water. And they walked, pushed the dolly over to the Sunday school classroom and unloaded the dolly in the Sunday school classroom. And then they rolled the dolly back and they put more water on the dolly until it was full, and they rolled the dolly back over to the Sunday school class and then unloaded the water in the Sunday school class. And then they went back to the fellowship hall again. You get the picture. Again and again and again. 1,500 packages of 20 bottles of water. It filled the Sunday school classroom about 5 feet high from wall to wall with water. It was back-breaking work. And so the congregation began to call those guys the water boys. They would say, "Hey, another truck has arrived with supplies. Do you think the water boys could help us unload it?" And so they did. A single woman came, and her house was flooded to 8 feet high, and there was a tree down blocking the back door. Do you think the water boys could go and help get the tree away from the back door and help her to clean out her house? And then finally, you know, there's an elementary school right behind the church, and the cafeteria has really begun to stink because all of the food in the refrigerator and the freezer is rotten because we've been without power for 6 days. Do you think the water boys could go and clean out the refrigerator and the freezer? And they did. You know, these guys were all young professionals, very successful, effective businessmen. They had spouses at home. They had families at home. And they had gone all the way to Mississippi to help move water. And you know what? They happily claimed that title of water boy. On the way home, as I was riding along with Jerry, I was talking to Jerry about his faith and what he hoped for the future. And he said, "You know what, Catherine? It would be fine with me if I was just always known as a water boy." That's humility. That's what Paul is writing about when he says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others." How are we supposed to lose ourselves on purpose? One way to do that is with humility, true humility. C.S. Lewis says this about humility: "True humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less." Let me say that again. Maybe you can see it on the screen here. True humility is not thinking less of yourself. True humility is thinking of yourself less. Now, that might not be 100% true for everyone. We certainly have examples all around us right now of people who do think more of themselves than they should, and they should think less of themselves. But for most of us, the latter part of that is probably true. It's not that we think too much of ourselves and therefore need to think less of ourselves, but instead we need to think of ourselves, about ourselves, less. And who gives us the example and the power to do that? We are given that example in Christ. We are given that power through our faith in Christ. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, didn't regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is fully God. And yet Jesus was willing to empty himself, taking a human form, becoming like us, and even becoming a servant, a slave to all of us. To empty oneself. You know, there's no greater definition of the will of God in action in our lives than to empty ourselves, to pour out our lives in servanthood to others with a spirit of humility, an attitude of humility, so that we lose ourselves on purpose. When I think about emptying oneself, I can't help but think about a story that I heard several years ago. I met a youth minister and worship leader from a church nearby where I used to live, and he had written a song and told the story that was the background for this song. He said that he, the youth minister, went on a mission trip to the Dominican Republic, and like many of the trips that we do here as a part of Trinity, it was a trip that focused a lot on construction and building. And there was one man who wanted to go on the trip, and his name was Bob. And he didn't really have the physical ability to do construction. And he didn't have the skills as well. And he still wanted to go on the trip. He said, I've prayed about it, and I just really feel like God has a purpose for me on this trip, and I will find something to do. I just want to go along. And so Bob went along with them on this trip. And as they were doing construction, Bob began to wander around the community. And as he did that, he noticed all the trash. There was just trash everywhere. So he started to just pick up trash. And then the more he wandered, the more trash he picked up. And then it dawned on him, this is my purpose for this trip. I'm just supposed to pick up the trash. And so he wandered through all the streets of the community picking up the trash. And, of course, the young children noticed what he was doing and began to follow him around. And then they lovingly nicknamed him Basura Bob. Anybody who speaks Spanish, what does basura mean? Trash. They called him Trash Bob. And this youth minister came back and wrote this song. Let me read you the words of this song. Trash in his pockets, a smile on his face. They gave him their garbage and he gave them grace. Someone's got to do it, but it's a dirty job. He's happy to call himself Basura Bob. One by one, he picks up the candy wrappers off the ground, and one by one, the boys nearby all stop their running around. Now, I know in their orphanage hangs a picture of Jesus' face. But if you were to ask them, I bet this is what they'd say. Jesus must be a lot like Basura Bob, willing to do the unlovely, to show the unlovely one's love. And there's nothing fancy about him, but if you look real close at his hands, you'll see that Jesus must look a lot like Bob, Basura Bob. Jesus wants to look a lot like you and me. After all, he's called us his eyes, his ears, his hands, his feet. And there's nothing fancy about it, just the mystery of flesh that clothes divinity. Jesus wants to look a lot like you and me. Jesus wants to look a lot like you and me. Can we live this way? Can you live this way? In a society that seems to promote me first and my rights and my individual success, what does it mean to look like Jesus? It seems virtually impossible to do. But you know what? We know that nothing is impossible with God. Paul tells us that in the book of Philippians as well. And right after reminding us who Jesus is in this passage that I read before, Paul goes on to say this. I'll go put it on the screen. Work out your own salvation. I'm not sure. Yeah, there I am. Okay. Therefore, my loved ones, just as you always obey me, not just when I am present, but even more while I am away, carry out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God is the one who enables you both to want and to actually live out his good purposes. We can't do it on our own, but we can do it with Christ working in us. We can do it as God works out God's good purposes in us as we live our lives. You know, one of the last images that we have of Jesus is from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. And in that passage, Jesus is sharing a meal with his disciples. And during that supper, it says, Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he got up from the table, and he took off his outer garment, and he took a towel, and wrapped it around himself. And he took a basin, and he poured water into it. And then he began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel. He walked around the table, and with water in the basin, he washed the dusty, dirty feet of his disciples. He became a servant to them. There is no better example of a water boy. Humility. True humility. Let us have this mind among us so that we can ease ourselves on purpose. As I close this morning, I want to close with a prayer that some of you may be familiar with. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist movement. He was about renewing the Anglican Church in the 17th century. And he is attributed with a prayer we call the Wesley Covenant Prayer. It speaks in a way that touches my heart to the kind of humility, the kind of emptying of ourselves that we're called to do. So let me invite you to bow your heads and pray with me. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Drink me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. Let me be exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. so be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Join me in this confession on this day. Loving and patient God, we are so competitive. We want to know who will be best and first, and we hope that it is each one of us. Jesus reminded us that the best of us will be the servants. The first will be those who are willing to put themselves last, not for their own honor, but for God's honor and praise. When our minds and hearts wander away from your desires for us, when we fail to live with humility and embrace your image in us, gently call us back to you. Empty our hearts of conceit and pride. Empty our souls of greed and self-centeredness. Empty our minds of thinking we are better than others. As you poured out your very self through your beloved Son, pour your Spirit into our hearts today. Forgive our selfish purposes and our wrongful attitude. Reclaim us with your love. God hears the prayers of our hearts, sees our actions, knows our attitudes. In the midst of our sinfulness, God reaches out to love and forgive us. Receive the forgiveness which God has offered to you, and trust. Come to this table, remembering that after Jesus had washed the feet of his disciples, he took bread, gave thanks to his Father in heaven, broke the bread, offered it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, and again gave thanks to his Father in heaven, and then offered it his disciples, saying, "Take, drink, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." And so we pray, Almighty God, that you pour out your Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make it be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be the body of Christ redeemed by his blood, go into the world and selflessly serve following your example. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until we feast together at your heavenly banquet table. In Jesus' name. If you're going to be helping us serve communion this morning, I invite you to please come to the rails now and receive the elements. And as they are coming, we are preparing. Want to let you know that in the United Methodist Church, communion is an open table. You don't have to be a member of Trinity or any church for that matter. You come at the invitation of God's Spirit. We serve the elements by way of intinction, which means that we tear off a piece of bread, hand it to you, and then you are invited to gently dip it into the cup. If gluten-free is a need that you have, we have them at these two stations here in the center. And as you come, we invite you to come from the front, exiting your row to your left, and return to your right.
be thou my vision? Has the line, not be all else to me, save that thou art, and reminds us that we need more God in our lives, and that we do it by giving all our hearts to him. Please stand and join us in singing verses 1 and verse 3 of our final hymn today.
May God be your vision as you seek to lose yourself on purpose, knowing that you can only do that because the love of God is in you, the grace of Jesus Christ poured out for you, and the power of the Holy Spirit strengthening you. Go in peace.